Thank you, worship team. Oh, I love that song. It's like we just proclaim this truth into our own lives as we sing it. It's good. So we've been talking about faith as we've been going through Hebrews. Today's example of faith asks the question: Do we have faith beyond the grave? Do we have faith beyond the grave? Death is one of those things that we're sometimes scared of, whether it's our own death or the death of someone that we love. And our own death is something that with our own eyes we can't see beyond. So maybe that's why it's such an important example to consider with our faith eyes, right? Because we can only see beyond our own death with our faith eyes. That's the only way that we can see how God's going to be working in us beyond our death in this season. So Hebrews 11, verses 20 to 22, plus we'll swing back to verse 17, four verses. If you have your Bible with you, follow along, Hebrews 11. And these four verses, they're all tied together. Of course, they're included in the Faith Hall of Fame, so there's that. And then these individuals, they're all lifted up as examples of the kind of faith that we'd like to have. But these four are about this kind of faith that sees beyond our lifetime in this life. In this section, we journey down the family tree of Abraham. Father to son, father to son, father to son. It's like a Star Wars trilogy. Charlie and I are big Star Wars fans, and so whenever you think father and son, sometimes Star Wars pops to mind, and that's what happens to me, because Star Wars is like this. It's like this epic movie. These epic movies that do look at relationships between fathers and sons, and yet even though. The Star Wars movies are about the relationships between fathers and sons. We see that there are so many different relationships and influences and even father figures in the different characters' lives. But watch how each of these verses, as we're going through them, or actually I'll just pull a little section out of each of these four verses. Watch how each of these verses talks father-son, followed by the next verse that talks son, grandson, and so on. So start back in verse 17. By faith, Abraham offered his son Isaac. And then Isaac is tied to verse 20. By faith, Isaac blessed his son Jacob. Jacob is tied to verse 21. By faith, Jacob blesses each of his son Joseph's sons. And then Joseph is tied to verse 22. By faith, Joseph spoke about the exodus of the Israelites. See, we're talking about faith, and here we see a hint that faith is passed from generation to generation. Now, before you go all, well, I don't have kids, so this is my cue to tune out, or I'm a mom, or I'm a daughter, so, you know, father, son, where do I fit into this? Yeah, the father and sons is the illustration that's used here, and is the truth that's used here, and is the story that's used here to proclaim the truth to us. But we're talking about generations. I mentioned Star Wars as maybe an example of this, and Star Wars, sure, it's fantasy, but it captures some ideas that are true, right? Every movie, it's based on the experiences and the beliefs of the artists and the contributors, and so the same thing is true there. George Lucas acknowledged this. He says, Star Wars it's all about generations and issues of fathers and sons and grandfathers. I printed off an ecogram or a family tree of the Star Wars universe as I was preparing this message, and it's messed up, right? And I'd say that it's not too different from our family trees, where there are, you can see these lines, but then there's just all these different influences, and there's different broken relationships, and there's different different people that are speaking into the lives of each generation, and they just kind of go back and forth and all over the place. And so I think this is something that we know, and I think that this truth is captured in some of the movies that we watch, it is necessary for us to pass on the truth that we know to each generation, and to each generation and the generation after that, and we all have a responsibility in that. And so even though the father-son line is fundamental in Star Wars, and even though that's the example that we're looking at at today, we see that it is about every generation and the influences on each. And we do want to pass our faith on to the next generation. And that's not only through the biological line. We see that in Star Wars, and we know that in life, that it's not only the biological line that influences the next generation. So here we are. First point, this one's super obvious. This is for all of us, all right? This is for all of us. It's not just we're talking about fathers and sons, we're talking about different relationships, but the truth is that this is for all of us. Everyone in every generation must pass their faith on to the next generation. Every generation must pass their faith on to the next generation. We're all called to make disciples. So if you think you have an out, well, think again, right? Amen. And just so you don't think that you're being chastised, I think we do this well at AGC, at Arrowwood Gospel Church. We're always, all of us are always growing in the Spirit, becoming more like the person God created us to be. Here at Arrowwood Gospel Church, though, we're good at getting multiple generations involved, calling the next generation to be the body of Christ. And this applies both for when we talk about the next generation to be born, and when we talk about the next generation to be born again, right? We're multi-generational in that we have the latest generation born, but we have the latest generation that's new Christians as well, and we want to be working in both of these generations. I was at a church once that was short of volunteers for kids' Sunday school. So the pastor made an announcement. It was something like, "Hey, grandparents, listen. You need to be involved in your grandkids' lives, right? You need to be speaking into your grandkids' lives. You should be helping at Sunday school. We need to pass our faith on to the next generation." And I understand what he was getting at. Grandparents have a special relationship with grandkids. They might be more likely to respond to that call, but listen, this isn't just about grandparents. This isn't just for grandparents. It's about being brothers and sisters in Christ. About all of us. There's special roles that mom and dads have, but as far as telling the next generation about Jesus, that's a role that we all have as followers of Jesus. So whether it's here or elsewhere, we all step into the things God has for us. Sometimes because we're specifically called, sometimes because it's something we're good at or love, or something that we love. Sometimes we step into things because there's a need. So this is for all of us. All right, next, check this. There's a progression in how far out the faith of each of these four fathers could see. Right? We'll scroll through them, but if you look in your Bible at these verses 17 and then 20 to 22, you'll see that each of them kind of, their faith eyes can see just a little bit further. It's like a progression. And it's not saying that, hey, you know what, one of these individuals had good faith and the other one had better faith and better faith and better faith. It's more just, hey, look at how this guy's faith was like right here. This guy saw a little bit further. This guy saw a little bit further. This guy, whoa, look how far his faith eyes could see. So let's start with Abraham, Hebrews 11, first part of verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. So here and in the following verses, their faith is bigger than these verses led on. But I want you to see big faith. So walk with me here. In this verse, Abraham's plan to offer his son Isaac is the manifestation of Abraham's faith, right? That's good. That's faith in action. His son is where his faith is expressed, is when he's called to offer Isaac and when he steps out in faith to do that. But Isaac, in the next verse, Hebrews 11:20, here we see that faith isn't about action today. It's passed on. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, his sons, in regard to their future. That's good. Thinking about the next generation. Isaac blessed his sons. You with me? Okay, good. Another Abraham's example of faith, right? It included his son as part of that faith. Isaac's example included his son as receiving the blessing of that faith. Well, Jacob, he takes it to the next level again, right? Hebrews 11:21. By faith, Jacob blessed each of Joseph's sons, right? Jacob blesses his grandkids, Ephraim and Manasseh. Oh, but wait, there's more. Are you ready for the next one? Joseph, check his faith, Hebrews 11, verse 22. By faith, Joseph spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions concerning the burial of his bones. The exodus from Egypt and the burial of Joseph's bones, these didn't occur for several hundred years after Joseph had died. Right? And he's talking about all of God's people that take part in the Exodus. His faith eyes, they see so far. So how does your faith see the next generation? Right? By faith, the next generation helps us achieve the things that God's calling us to. By faith, the next generation is blessed. By faith, the next generation is blessed. And by faith, God's people, beyond the generations that we can even imagine, are blessed. Have you ever noticed the stars in the sky? And I know I'm sure I've brought up star illustrations before, but it's because I love it when I come home late at night and look up in the sky and kind of linger, and it's just beautiful. We're so blessed here in Arrowwood just to be able to look up and be amazed. I don't know how anybody can look up at that and not be like, God, you're awesome, right? Like, it's just wonderful. And I love that. Have you ever tried those, seeing the stars during the day? Most of the time, unless it's like a planet or late in the evening, you can't see because the sky's too bright. But here's the thing, the stars, of course, they're still out there. It's just that the light from the sun reflecting off, scattering across our atmosphere, is drowning it out. And it's the same reason that we can see more stars in Arrowwood, right? Because in the city, the lights from the city are scattering off the atmosphere, and that drowns out some of the stars. And also, that light scattering off closes our pupils just a little bit, so we can't see quite as many stars. But the starlight, the stars, even though we can't see them, they're still there. Or if you look through a telescope, right? Maybe you're bird watching. You zoom in on a yellow-bellied warbler. With your binoculars, you can get a good look. Yellow-bellied warbler. Apparently, this is a bird that we've got around here, and we've got a friend that knows all about birds. And one day this is bonus material. This isn't part of the sermon, all right? One day, the kids and I saw this bird, and the kids are like, "What's that?" I'm like, "Maybe it's a yellow-bellied warbler. I just made it up." And they're like, "Dad." Well, then our friend came out, Mr. Stiles, and we're like, "Yeah, we saw this bird, and it's got a yellow belly, and I think it's a yellow-bellied warbler." And Mr. Stiles is like, "You're right, it is." And so somehow, the yellow-bellied warbler is a bird that we have around here. But anyway, you're looking through your binoculars at the yellow-bellied warbler, right? And you zoom in, and with your binoculars, you can get a close look, the details of his feathers and his beak. But you put down the binoculars, and you can't make out those details anymore. And here's what I've always found cool is that the light that's reflecting off that yellow-bellied warbler, it's still the light, the details are still making it to your eyes. It's just without the right instrument, we're just not able to see it. And so it's not that the details of the yellow-bellied warbler aren't there anymore. It's just that we can only see it with our faith eyes, right? We know that those details are still there, but we can't see them. And this is what faith is. There's many things that we can't see with our eyes, and we need faith to see them. We need our faith eyes. Okay, so I have one more space illustration, just because, you know, because I like space illustrations. So how about this example? When we're searching for planets in the sky, around other stars, they're called exoplanets. These planets are too far away, and we can't even see them through a telescope because the stars that these planets are around are just too bright. We can't make out these dim planets. But what we can see, this is pretty cool. There's two ways that they find most of these exoplanets. One is that they look at the star, and then they measure the brightness, and then a little bit later they note, hey, it's just a little bit dimmer, right? And if this is a star where a planet goes in front of it, then when the planet goes in front of it, it just makes that star just a little bit less bright, and based on that, we're like, there's probably a planet there. And then they watch the pattern, and if it's continuous, or if it repeats as this planet orbits around, then they're like, we believe there's an exoplanet there. And it's like, that's just so cool that you can even see that star getting a little bit dimmer. Or this is another way that they do it, that when the planet, if it only works when there's planets going in front of that star. So when the planet goes in front, then the star moves forward just a little bit, because the gravity of the planet kind of moves the sun forward. And when it moves forward just that little bit, it's like a train coming towards you, right? When the sound changes a little bit. And so the color of the light coming towards us changes just a little bit. And based on that, they're like, hey, that star just moved a little bit. There must be a planet there. And they keep watching it. And sure enough, they see that pattern. And based on that, they assume that, hey, there's a planet there. I think that's pretty cool. I think it's amazing that we can measure that. But here's the thing: we can't see any of these planets with our eyes, but we believe that they're there because we have other instruments, other ways of measuring that suggest they're there, and God's doing stuff now and in the future that we can't see, right? But He's still doing it. His good works don't disappear because you can't conceive or see them. Sometimes. We can see signs of God's work, or we can see signs of His future plans. Sometimes we can't. So what's the point? The point is this. Your faith, our faith is too small, right? It's hard to predict beyond tomorrow. Most of the time, even when it comes to big steps of faith, our predictions are way off, right? What's our 5-year plan? What's our plan for the next year even, right? And so often we try and make those kind of plans and they're just off. And so it's not that Joseph had a 100-year plan, right? This was what it looked like. It's that by faith, Joseph knew that God had a 1,000-year plan, a thousands of year plan, and a plan that goes on into eternity. So your faith is too small. Our faith is too small. And again, this isn't us getting in trouble for not having enough faith. No. This is Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. So our faith is too small, but it's not about how small our faith is, but how big our God is. What does this look like for us? Well, by faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. We want our faith to be active today, like Abraham's was, right? How are we stepping out in faith? And we are doing this, and let's keep doing it. We include the next generation, whether that's young people or people new to the faith. We're all involved in serving Jesus. Maybe you're thinking, hey, you know what, I'm kind of at a place where I'm not really serving Jesus or I'm taking a little bit of a break. And there's a time for taking a break. More often, if you're feeling that way, it's time to step up. Is there a place at AGC or something outside of AGC that God is calling you to? Maybe he's He's calling us as your brothers and sisters in Christ to equip or help you in whatever it is, whatever that faith step that he's calling you to. Friend, that might be scary. It will require faith, whatever it is, if there's something new that God is calling you to. But it will require faith, because our faith is active today. Then by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. Isaac blessed his sons. We want to pass our faith on to the next generation. How do we pass the faith on to the next generation? I don't know. How do we do that? See, we want to be proclaiming Jesus for people today with the hope that some will turn from their sin and accept him as their Lord and Savior. Jesus himself said in Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 and 38, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out the workers into his harvest field." Right? He's talking about people that need him. We're going out and calling them in, that there's a God that loves them. And even if my Star Wars or space illustrations aren't all that helpful, surely Jesus' harvest illustration makes sense to us, right? And in fact, I love that Jesus used this illustration and so many of his other illustrations and parables and stuff, and it's like 2,000 years later, they still make sense to us. Like, that's awesome. That's awesome faith eyes, right? That Jesus could speak in this way and know that 2,000 years later that this illustration about the harvest is still going to make sense to us. That's awesome. So the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. There's some people in whom the good news of Jesus, right, that he died for us, that he rose from the grave, that he paid the price for our sin. There's some people in whom the good news of Jesus was planted many years ago. They're just waiting for somebody to go out and bring them in. Say, hey, you know what? This is the God that loves you. This is the one that you heard about many years ago. This is the one that the Holy Spirit planted something in your heart many years ago. And now's the time. Join with him. Join with us. So come on, we need workers. You know how this is? The harvest doesn't last forever, right? Get out there and work. All right, then we had Jacob, and by faith, Jacob blessed each of Joseph's sons. Jacob blessed his grandsons, right? Because it's not just about the next generation, but about every generation. And so what are you doing? What are we doing that will pass our faith on to the following generations? At VBS this summer, we saw lots of grandkids and friends' kids. Sometimes a young person will make a decision to serve Jesus at VBS. More often, though, we're planting those seeds. Excuse me. And at EGC, at Arrowwood Gospel Church, we have a history of this. I can think of several adults that have popped in or joined us because somebody told them about Jesus 10, 20, or 30 years ago, and now that much later, that's sprouted into something. The harvest that Jesus talked about, we need to be doing some planting today, so that in 10, 20, 30 years, just like the generation before us did, so that 10, 20, 30 years into the future, that next generation can be doing some harvesting. How long have we even been doing Kids Club, right? Is it like I was reading something about Kids Club campouts, I don't know how, 30 years ago, or just all these stories about Kids Club and this long history that we have of doing Kids Club and of proclaiming the truth into these kids' lives. This isn't something that it's like, hey, I got an idea, let's do Kids Club, right? This is something that we've been doing for a long time and that the generation before us went out and proclaimed the good news, and now we're able to bring in the harvest, as it were, and we're proclaiming the good news today, and we know by faith, with our faith eyes, because lots of us won't see this, but we know by faith that we will see this, but we won't see this in this lifetime. But we know that, yeah, in 10, 20, 30, however many years the work that God's calling us to today is gonna produce fruit. Okay, sorry. Where was I in my notes? I got a little excited there. Good. Got that. How about this? So this isn't only with young people, right? I have a few friends actually when I was working as an engineer, as a student, where I had some buddies and they weren't brothers or sisters in Christ. They were my buddies, and so either with my I try with my life to be proclaiming Jesus, and I didn't always do that well. And I know that there were some times when we'd have conversations, and I'd be telling them, hey, you know what? Jesus loves you. He died for you. And I can remember at the time that it was so discouraging because nothing ever seems to stick. Most of the time, sometimes we get one of those where it's like, you know, you tell somebody, hey, Jesus loves you and he died for you. And they're like, really? Tell me more, right? And we're like, thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. But most of the time we tell them and they're like, oh, yeah, whatever, right? Well, then some of these friends, I bump into them years later and they're going to church and worshiping God and they love Jesus. And it's like, how did this even happen, right? And I trust by faith that God used me to plant that seed. And then later on, he used somebody else to bring those people in. So by faith, Joseph spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions concerning the burial of his bones. Joseph saw even beyond his immediate descendants. He knew from God's promises that Egypt, where he was living, this wasn't his home. And this is a good example. Sometimes when somebody's going through a hard time or things aren't working out the way that they like, you might say, you just have to have faith, right? And that's what we really mean sometimes, not all the time. Sometimes we do this better, but sometimes when we don't quite get this right, what we mean is, hey, listen, despite all the evidence that everything looks bad, just believe that everything will work out the way that you want it to, right? And that's not how faith works, right? Things don't always work out the way that we want them to, and there's a time when we trust our faith eyes more than what we can see, but we don't just throw out all the evidence around us. So these guys that we're looking at today, these guys were approaching the end of their lives, right? Death was real. Like this was coming. This was just around the corner. But you know, do you know what else was real in each of these guys' lives? That they had lived long lives in which they'd seen God at work, right? They were approaching the end of their lives now, but they'd seen God's faithfulness throughout their whole lives. And so, yes, this death was coming, and they knew it was coming, and they couldn't see beyond it with their eyes, but they'd seen God at work. Joseph couldn't see with his eyes the exodus, that the people would come out of Egypt, nor could he see with his eyes the future burial of his bones, but he had seen God's faithfulness. He knew that his people would enter the land that God had promised. So Joseph's faith, it wasn't a blind faith that hoped that things would work out for the best, the way that he wanted. No, Joseph's faith was one that by faith he believed God's promises. And we can proclaim this too. God will call future generations, and that will continue until Jesus returns. God will call future generations to flee sin, to turn to him. After we die, there will be a future date at which our bodies will rise from the grave. So again, not as a rebuke, but as a motivator, because God is capable of immeasurably more than we can imagine. Your faith is too small. Our faith is too small, right? God's so capable of so much. Okay, we have We have one more point here today, and there might be a little bit of overlap with this one. That's okay. Our faith sees beyond death. Our faith sees beyond death. Starting again with Abraham in Hebrews 11, 17, this time through to verse 19. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He had embraced the promises. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, right? Abraham had faith. He was offering Isaac, his only son, as a sacrifice, but because he'd embraced these promises. Even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned, Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. And so in a matter of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. Right? We looked at that verse last week. Abraham's faith allowed him to see that God would work beyond Isaac's death, beyond his son's death. And sometimes this is important for us. In a second, we'll talk about faith that sees beyond our own lives. But sometimes it's hard to have faith that can see beyond the death of somebody that we love. In Abraham's case, he knew that God had plans for Isaac. By faith, even though he couldn't see how, he had a theory, which wasn't correct. He had a theory. So even though he couldn't see how, by faith he could see that Isaac's death wouldn't hinder God's plans. By faith, Abraham marched toward his son Isaac's death, not seeing how that would play out. And then next we saw Isaac's faith that saw beyond death. Here the focus wasn't so much beyond death as it was on blessing Jacob and Esau now, knowing that would extend beyond his own death. Hebrews 11:20 again. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regards to their future. Does our faith require that we be alive? Here's something. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. That's a verse that some of us are familiar with. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. This verse, it's talking about our salvation. And we usually see it as confirmation that God will continue the work that he started in our lives until we die. But that's not what it says. It doesn't say he's going to continue the work in our lives until we die. It says God will continue the good work he started in you until the day of Jesus Christ. That's Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. When Jesus returns, that's when everything is consummated. Jesus is the beginning and the end. You are not. I am not, right? Jesus is the beginning and the end. God's plans, even in our own lives, don't begin and end with our birth and our death. The eternal salvation message, it's also a reminder that God will carry the plans for this world that he began through you onto completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Maybe it's like that colleague at the shop, right? She can't take any vacations because she thinks that things are just going to grind to a halt without her. Sure, you're an important part of the team. Yes, we need you here rather than slacking off. But the world's not going to fall apart without you, right? And yeah, absolutely. The message today is that, hey, we're called to take steps of faith, but we need to keep in our mind that God's work is going to continue. The good work that he started in you, the good work that he started through you, is going to continue after you've died. And then next, Jacob. So Jacob's faith saw beyond death. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, while he was dying, might be another way we could say it. By faith, Jacob, while he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. Why was he leaning on top of his staff? Maybe because he was dying. He was old, right? He needed some support. Despite death knocking on the door, he worshipped and he blessed Ephraim and Manasseh. If death is kind of the ultimate concern for some of us, then the ability to look beyond death reminds us to do this in every area of our lives, right? If you're losing your home, for example, foreclosure, no longer available. While you're losing your home, do you have faith that God has plans beyond that home? Do you worship God while you're losing your home, or whatever it is, right? While you're losing your job, maybe your life work seems to have gone up in smoke, or the place that God has called you to serve, all of a sudden it seems there's nothing here. Like, God, what is this? There's nothing to show for all the things that you've called me to, right? Maybe while you're losing a relationship, or how about this? You leave Arrowwood someday. You can't attend Arrowwood Gospel Church any longer. Can you worship God while you're leaving? Or does your faith depend on having a healthy group of believers that you've known for a long time? The question is this: is there something in your life other than Jesus that your faith depends on? Do we have faith to see beyond everything else? We really don't know whether we do until we get to that place, right? We talk about it here, and hopefully we plant some of those seeds in our hearts so that the Holy Spirit can remind us of that when we get there. But until we get there, we can't predict it. But take hope, friends. God is good and worthy of worship, even when Jacob was dying. God was good then. He's good now. Finally, Joseph's faith saw beyond death. Again, Joseph took it to a whole new level. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions concerning the burial of his bones. While his end was near, Joseph spoke and gave instructions beyond the grave. With Joseph, it's not about the next generation. It's about seeing the promises of God fulfilled. And you know, Joseph's story in some ways might be like our case, because if you read Joseph's story is in the last couple chapters of Genesis, and if you look there, his dad Jacob, he died, and they took his bones and they buried them in the Promised Land. There was an expedition over there, and then they came back. Pharaoh said, "Yeah, you can go and bury your dad's bones." So they did. They took them over there. Then they came back. Well, then when Joseph died, He, for whatever reason, maybe the political climate had changed, but they didn't go and bury his bones right away. He said, when you do get there eventually, then I want you to bury my bones there. And you wonder if it wasn't the case, it doesn't give us a whole lot of details, right? Joseph was like, he was the prime minister, and maybe he could see a little bit into the future that, hey, you know what, it looks like my people here in Egypt, they're going to be persecuted, or there's going to be something that happens. It's not always going to be good like it had been, and he could sense that change coming, right? I think sometimes we're in a place like that in Canada where we've had prime ministers that have been Christians, right? How long that will continue, or whether that's the truth today. I know that when I was studying this, I apparently Prime Minister Trudeau attended Alpha recently, or not recently, before he in the past few years anyway, and he talked a little bit about that. And so, just as an aside, if you're praying for our leaders, if you're praying for Prime Minister Trudeau, you can be praying about that he was at an Alpha class, and he talked about that. It's not a secret thing. It's something that he acknowledged. Yeah, I did Alpha, and he says that it helped, it brought him back to his Catholic faith, but the point is that, you know what, we are in Canada, we are kind of in a transition where as Christians things are pretty good. We're not persecuted, but maybe we can see into the future. We can see that things aren't always going to be good. That things are changing. That maybe persecution is coming, and so maybe that's where Joseph was at, where he was the prime minister, but he knew that, you know what, when I die, things are going to go bad before they go good, and when you do leave Egypt, I want you to take my bones with you. And he spoke about this coming Exodus. And then, if you know, if you know Joseph's story, you know that there was lots of stuff that happened in Joseph's life. There was a ton of stuff that required big faith, right? God worked some big miracles in his life. By faith, there were seasons of many years in which Joseph was faithful, right? While he was being persecuted. And so when we read this Faith Hall of Fame thing about Joseph as this example of faith, it's like, really? This is the best example of Joseph's faith, that he spoke about the future and he gave instructions about his bones, right? It makes it seem like that's the best faith he got. But you know what? It's actually a little bit different than that, because yes, we know that there was so many awesome things that God did through Joseph, so many things that required huge faith. But this, which might seem small to us, Joseph spoke about the future. Joseph gave instructions about the future. This is the example of Joseph's faith that we're given because he was thinking beyond the grave. Yes, there's a kind of faith that's required for today, for stepping out in action, for trusting that God's going to be here today. But the kind of faith that Hebrews is highlighting here is that kind of faith that Joseph had, that could see beyond. Even as he was dying, he could see by faith that wasn't the end. Joseph's words and instructions, the instructions he gave, show us the faith that he had, faith that saw beyond the grave. Our faith sees beyond death. All right, let's land this booster. So one, this is for all of us, right? Two, your faith is too small, right? That's an encouragement, not a discouragement. And three, our faith sees beyond death, beyond our death, beyond anybody's death. We know that God is at work. The verses we looked at are all about faith that sees beyond our lifetimes. I believe that God will use each one of you beyond your lifetime. Think of this. Here's a question for you. By faith, do you believe that God will do mightier works through you while you're alive or after you're dead? Right? And we believe both, that God's working mightily through us now. He's calling us to awesome stuff. He's using us to proclaim the truth. But we also believe that he's doing mighty things through us that go beyond the grave. Think about that. Let's have faith that believes that God is working even beyond our lifetimes. Amen? Amen. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just ask that you would be working through each one of us, that you would give us faith that sees beyond death, Lord. Faith that sees beyond whatever it is that we might be tempted to hold on to other than you. That we would have faith that could see beyond that you would call us to action. And maybe, Lord, we pray that you would show us some of the things you're doing, but where you don't, Lord, we just pray that by faith you would give us the faith that would know that you are working through us in things that will occur even after we've died. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.